All right, at this time, I'd like to bring it back to the commissioners for comments. And hang on a minute, folks. Let me get back to the... is there any commissioner that'd like to make a comment?
Mike Rotkin has his hand up.
Mr. Rotkin, Commissioner Rotkin.
McPherson. Having been the one that undermined the chair's attempt to get us done in 2 minutes, I'm going to try and be very brief. Basically, I think at this point, we should accept this plan, not adopt it, not make some, as people pointed out, some absolute commitment to following through and building the total capital project and everything else. We don't know enough. The question of whether there's funding available is a very open question. Ford overestimates how easy it will be to get all this money. Greenway certainly underestimates the possibility of getting this kind of funding. We need to do some serious investigation of what's possible here. I do not believe we should spend a bunch of local money at the next steps here until we have some idea that we have real partners in the federal government and the state. State has a rail plan. It's quite serious and has lots of funding in it that's not available to the transit district, that's not available for other kinds of solutions. There's rail start money at the federal level that can only be spent on rail. There'll probably be other kinds of support in the future. But again, we don't know the answer to that question. We need to investigate it. It would be a tragic mistake to end the possibility of an alternative rail solution here for all time into the future. If we made a decision right now to sort of tear up the tracks, make a recreational park, this is one thing I'm quite confident of. I don't know that I'm right about lots of stuff, but I don't have any doubt that once we tear up those tracks and make a recreational park out of this corridor, we will never get it back for public transit. That may be a decision we have to make. I'm not going to say that, you know, unlike some others, I'm not absolutely committed to rail. We might decide there is not funding. If we take $17 million of state funds, get a 30% design, make this project clear what the costs are and so forth. And our costs here include 50% contingency. We understand we don't have full information. But in the end, we'd be making a tragic mistake to tear up tracks and end for all, not just for the near future, but for all time in the future, the possibility, the only possible corridor for additional transit in our county. So again, I want to be very clear. I might see myself in a few years here deciding, look, the money's just not available. The state promises a rail plan, but they're not funding it. The federal government thinks they can have a whole, you know, $3 trillion on capital kinds of projects and stuff. They may not be able to deliver that. It may fall apart for a variety of reasons. So I could see myself deciding in the end, we're going to give it up. We're going to go back to simply building a trail here. That would be a useful thing to do. I don't want to spend forever hoping we could get money in some way. I'm a realist and a pragmatist about these kinds of things. But I think it's premature to make a decision to end transit possibilities on this corridor. So I'm in favor of accepting this plan, seeking funding to clarify what funding is available at the state and federal level. And that's how I think we should move forward. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Beltran, and then Commissioner Cabot.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, I was really surprised. First of all, Chair, how many minutes do we have? Is this sort of up to discretion, or I just want to make sure?
Try and be brief, but there's no limit. That was our motion.
Yeah, I'll follow Michael's lead. So I was really surprised that Steve is a national expert on transportation. And as you know, he's definitely a transit person, but he came to us and said that this is not a feasible project. Many people have said this in various other ways, but if you have the ability to consider someone who's a national expert, I would consider that a very important piece of input. So it gets back to affordability. We just do not have the density of people who earn high enough income to be able to take enough money off of what they normally spend and save to support a rail system, period. We just don't. We have aspirations to do it. Now, you know, the rail is, you know, we bought an antique. That rail system had its heyday perhaps when it was moving redwood up to San Francisco or fish. And, you know, it's sort of degraded ever since. and the last little burp it had was moving cement. And, you know, when I was campaigning in Capitola, I talked to a lot of people who remember fondly that train that went through town once a week or something. You know, it was not a high frequency train track use at all. So I'm trying to figure, so for our little antique, you know, Steve got me thinking, Steve Deckery said, you know, he's referencing the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. Well, a spokesperson for that recently, Randy Rentschler, he talked about what kind of projects would be funded. And he said money could flow to seismic retrofit of the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, our bridge in Capitola is not the Golden Gate Bridge. I'll tell you that right now. And extending the BART service through downtown San Jose. Much needed to move people. This is a high density area and it needs to move people to get them off the freeway. Okay, and work to electrify the Caltrans system. I took Caltrans system. I worked 30 plus years in semiconductor industry. I had to go from San Francisco to San Jose, Sunnyvale. I rode my bike to the Caltrans system in San Francisco, took Caltrans down and walked the last mile and a half to get to my place of employment. I love the train. But they want to electrify it now. The reason why they want to electrify is to reduce costs. If you're aware of the whole system on Caltrans, it's sort of a joint arrangement in that area of the world. And extend the line to downtown San Francisco. So these are a few of the high-level projects in areas where there's millions of people. They have a compulsory need for this kind of money. We don't. Not for our antique rail line. Also, I might mention, when a lot of these big things were funded, like in the Bay Area, they had people like Mineta to push them. We don't have a Mineta. We have a great representative, but he needs many more years to get that oomph, to get money in any case of funding from the federal government. And that's going to also carry over to the state because people listen to the people who have oomph. So when I listen to everyone who's talked in a positive way what we could do, right now, RTC, we've already approved moving ahead on many improvements of Highway 1. Bus on shoulder is one of them. And one of the last speakers talked about was, we have the metro system. Now we're going to have bus on shoulder. We need to improve our metro. Improve our metro. It's a cost-effective way to move people in mass, very cheap, and it's flexible. Flexibility is something you will not get with the rail line. The other thing that I really have a problem with is accepting a study that is based on techniques, approaches to analyzing data that's not peer reviewed. I really have a problem with that. We should be dealing like AMBAG does. You have a peer reviewed way to look at data so that the results can be accepted across the nation and accepted by people who look at it for funding. We don't have that here. We have a study that I don't know what it's based on. You know, there's some, I just don't know. It's just not peer reviewed, not federally accepted. And I think that's a major flaw for this. And I'm not gonna vote for this thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. This is how we're gonna follow. It'd be Commissioner Caput, Commissioner Montesino, Commissioner McPherson, and I see Scott Eden. Is that the Caltrans?
Yes, it is.
Andy Schiffer, and then Manu. Did we all get that? Greg Caput, Montesino, McPherson, Scott, Andy, and then Manu. Go ahead, Mr. Caput.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Chairman Gonzalez. I pretty much agree. I'll make it real short. I agree with Commissioner Rodkin. We got to look at this real close. I'm all for rail connecting Pajaro, Watsonville to Santa Cruz, which will connect us to the whole state of California, basically, for having the rail. And I just want to make it clear, whatever is good for one section of the county may not be good for our South County, which is Watsonville. I don't want to lose the opportunity of having an electric train or whatever connecting us with all of the other train and rails in California. So I think we need to look at it real close. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Cabot. Commissioner Montesino.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my comments brief, but is it an appropriate time to make the motions to accept the staff recommendation?
If you want to make a motion,
I'd like to make the motion to move staff recommendation. I'm in full support. I know we didn't hear a lot of public comment from South County residents, but you know, from my community, we're in full support of this endeavor to keep our options open. Thank you.
I'll second the motion. And
we have a motion and a second. And we're going to continue with comments, though. I'm going to continue.
Exactly,
with,
of course.
Mr. McPherson. Chair recognizes Mr. McPherson.
Bruce, you're muted.
Bruce, you're muted.
Still muted.
I can't. There we go. I can't promise to be short, but I'll try to get there. okay. I supported doing this TCA study because we needed to fulfill our obligation under Measure D to investigate and compare the trail options for the rail corridor, and we needed some better answers. And I think the business plan is essentially the last chapter of this. I want to, once again, I think we should all appreciate Steve Decker and Pamela Duncan and Ginger Dykar of the staffs and the consultants and the staffs. They've done what we asked them to do, and I think the public needs to be clear on that. They were directed to do this, and I really think they did a great job of this. But as I've said many times before, I think it's good public policy to preserve the option of public transit along the corridor. But we have a responsibility to be fiscally prudent at the same time and spend our limited time and resources on projects that are feasible and I think are needed now to get this community moving. I not only question the financial feasibility of moving forward with passenger rail right now, I'm concerned about the myriad of legal and physical challenges that are serious obstacles getting the passenger rail built. We're all concerned about mitigating the congestion on Highway 1, but this plan reflects that a transit option along the corridor will not substantially have a positive impact on that. I do appreciate the staff outlining a clear set of choices for the commission on this time, this item. But the choices that I'm unable to support at this time because of the challenges identified and the big questions that are still unanswered, what's already been mentioned. I'll continue to support the planned improvements for rail trail through the north of the Santa Rosa Bridge to Davenport, as well as freight service to Watsonville. As long as it's shown to be financially feasible. But the part of the rail corridor between Lee Road and the San Lorenzo Bridge to the north has serious obstacles and costs associated with moving forward blindly. And I think we really do not know the cost of that with passenger rail, no matter what the cost in terms of money and time. I really do care about both of those things of cost and time that we will spend on this if we continue. My no vote today on this item does not mean I'm not open to new information or a different set of more feasible circumstances coming forward regarding the affordable uses of the corridor, but the opposite is true. It would be great if our divided community and the callers today were not evenly divided, but closely divided to talk to one another and focus on a realistic use of the rail corridor. I think if we were to start to scratch to design a transit option next to the rail, taking the current politics out of the discussion, what would we design, for instance? Until now, both sides on this issue have been so busy arguing the numbers that we have not been able to really talk about all of the obstacles and challenges that really lay before us if we continue to move forward in building the passenger rails without seriously questioning what it will take to build and operate it. I say that without irony, because when I talk to the extreme sides of this issue, I actually see some agreement. I think both sides agree to preserving the option of public transit along the corridor is good for the community, but both sides agree on preserving the freight service to Watsonville. I think we should really focus on that. And many people on both sides, but not all, agree that the north of Santa Rosa Bridge to Davenport can and should continue to build a trail along the existing rail line. So I encourage more dialogue regarding what is the best way to preserve the public transit option and build a usable trail sooner than later between Lee Road and Santa Rosa Bridge. But I can't support this at this point. There's just too many unknowns, and I don't think that I think we're going to be running into a lot more problems than have been identified to date, and more costly in the same time. So I will be voting no on this recommendation.
Thank you, Commissioner McPherson. Scott.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As your Caltrans representative, we are, you know, quite close to what's happening at the state and federal level. And I can tell you that we're seeing a significant shift in terms of how we're focusing resources on other modes of transportation and away from our traditional toolbox, which would have been highway widening or other things that are more vehicular related. And so I'm, you know, looking ahead, what we're seeing is a shift in not only the priorities, but also the dollars that follow. And so there's a lot here on the horizon in terms of the ability to fund capital as well as operational costs at the state and federal level. Again, it's happening quickly, and we don't know exactly what the rules of the road are yet in terms of those funding shifts, but they are occurring. And we had a DRMT, a Division of Rail and Mass Transit representative with us a little bit earlier, but she had to leave. But I just also want to emphasize that DRMT have been working with the staff at SCCRTC and do feel quite hopeful about a funding path for being able to fund the next phase of the project if this board chooses to proceed substantially in terms of being able to help make that next step feasible. Thank you, and we, Caltrans and DRMT, do support moving the project forward.
Thank you. Mr. Commissioner Alternate Andy Schifrin?
You got it.
Thank you. I certainly agree, and I think the business plan makes it abundantly clear that at this point, any kind of passenger rail service is not feasible. 44% of the cost of both operation and capital is unidentified. Unlike many other people, I don't feel I have a crystal ball that will tell me what's going to happen when the pandemic is going to happen, what's going to happen in 25 years from now in terms of the feasibility of rail service or other potentials on the rail line. My concern is not losing the option should it turn out to be feasible in the future. And we don't know. I certainly don't think it makes sense to go forward with any particular rail, passenger rail service at this time. My willingness to support the staff recommendation in terms of environmental review and applying for funds for environmental review and design is based on the fact that if in fact, as kind of indicated by the Caltrans representative and the possibilities in the federal infrastructure bill, it would become feasible to be able to meet those unidentified costs, we'd be in better shape to do that if we had that other information available. But I think at this point, if I understand all that's really before us is accepting a business plan at the end of a process that every commissioner, I think, has pretty much, maybe with one or two no votes along the way, supported. We reviewed the RFP, we approved the scope of services. There was no demand for a peer review by any commissioners at the time when the scope of services were approved. And we had consultants who were considered by our staff and were approved as knowledgeable about these matters. The fact that another expert shows up at our meeting and says, well, no, none of this is ever going to be feasible. Well, you know, we have a lot of information in front of us that says, well, it's not feasible now, but it's certainly, there's a potential that it could be feasible in the future. I wanted to respond also to the notion that this is an antique rail line. In the 1950s, there was a suntan special that brought people from the city of Watsonville, from San Jose to Santa Cruz County Boardwalk. It was a pretty active rail line at that point. There were complaints about it being a little bit too active with some rowdy customers along the way, but it was an important option until the car just sort of made it impossible when Highway 17 was widened. It served a lot of functions. It doesn't have much of a function now, although, there is a user, the big Roaring Camp Big Trees does use it. And so I think it's important to keep them in mind as we sort of look at what the future may hold. My sense is this is we're looking into the future without a crystal ball. And when you do that, it seems to me it makes sense to keep your options open. The final thing I want to say is in response to people who have talked about the danger and the lack of safety on the current street system and use that as a way of arguing for ripping up the tracks. In my view, we're trying to build the trail. We're trying to make it safer. We are building a trail. We've got a segment done. We're trying to get funding for other segments and bring them about. We're trying to get options that will allow people who ride their bike to get off the road. I think it's, from my perspective, disingenuous to argue that by ripping up the tracks, there's going to be a trail for everyone sooner. In fact, in my view, it will delay it extensively. There's too many steps that we have to go through before that could be possible, even if the commission wanted it to be. We're moving on with a number of segments, and I think I wish the people who challenge the commission on everything that we want to do would really get behind and support the implementation of those segments so that we could increase the safety of bike riders in this county. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Alternick and Schiffner. Commissioner Koenig, and then Commissioner Patrick Mahone, here you, and then Commissioner Christian Peterson, and then Commissioner Brown.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I also want to begin by thanking staff for dutifully executing what this commission has asked them to do. And I want to be very clear as well that our community cannot afford this rail plan. Our existing public transit system, Metro, is looking at a $10 million structural deficit over the next 5 years. That's per year. Our county roads have a pavement index of an F and an ongoing budget shortfall that means we are falling further and further behind every year. We're missing 70% of the money to build the trail as proposed through Live Oak. And so would want to counter Commissioner Schifrin's point that, you know, we're building the trail. We can't build the trail through key segments with the proposed plan. Moreover, we haven't even identified the money to maintain the trail once it is built. That's going to be a whole nother set of problems. So I think this rail plan is really a grass is greener approach. This idea that instead of maintaining and improving our existing 600 miles of roads and public transit system, somehow dumping millions of dollars into a train will yield a better result. No fiscal impact. That was mentioned by a number of the public speakers today. No fiscal impact of pursuing a $17 million environmental review. RTC staff time costs $150 an hour to do anything. There is a very real cost to continuing to study a train. And there, most importantly, there is the cost of our time and our attention to things that will get our community moving. I think just because we can get money from the state doesn't mean we should waste it. State money and federal money is still taxpayer money. It's still our money. There will be plenty of opportunities to get state and federal money for projects we all agree will work. Just look at the recent $100 million we received for the multimodal bus highway bike project on Soquel Drive and Highway 1. It's always easier to spend money than to do work, but it's not the right thing to do. So I do want to say one thing about the technology involved here. I do think the project is technologically antiquated. This is like if your daughter came to you and said she couldn't get Netflix to load on her phone and you responded by going to rummage around in the basement for a VHS player. It's just a waste of time, and it fails to address the real transportation needs in our community, the real commute patterns. So it's time to build a trail. Let's focus on building what we all agree we want, building it through Live Oak across the Capitola Trestle. It's going to require the space where the tracks are. We need to use the Harbor Trestle, the Rodeo Gulch Trestle, the Capitola Trestle, the La Selva Trestle, and all the other existing bridges. I want our staff's time to be dedicated to finding funding to reduce the huge number of deaths and injuries we see on our roads each year, to building the best possible trail, to dedicating and finding funding for safe routes to school. We need to put this to a public vote as soon as possible. And I think today we draw a line in the sand that not another tax dollar shall be spent on a train until the people vote. I will not be supporting the staff recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Patrick?
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. I'll be as brief as I can, but I have been waiting for this meeting now for 4 years. In 2017, when the initial draft of the Unified Corridor study came out, and it indicated that all of the transit money that was going to come into this county would be required to support rail transit. And I brought this to the attention of Metro staff. And they were surprised that money that they were intending to rely on for their projects was assumed to be diverted to rail transit. So I worked with Barrow Emerson at the transit district, and we shifted the staff recommendation instead of being rail transit on the corridor to pursue an alternatives analysis of the best public transit use of the corridor. My goal for that was just to get a clearer understanding of what the costs were actually going to be and what kind of timeline this would at all be feasible. What I didn't anticipate, though, was how feasibility was going to be defined. So what we've seen over the course of the past three rail studies, the passenger rail feasibility study, the UCIS, and now the TCAA, is that every time the staff interpretation or the consultant's interpretation of the available data is that all these projects are feasible if a series of impossible conditions are met. Now, it's that if part that is continually forgotten, and that everyone focuses on the feasibility part. And so we talk about the feasibility. But it's more accurate to say that this project is infeasible unless. It's not feasible if, it's infeasible unless. And I've heard a lot of people talk about, well, now the funding argument has been rebutted by saying, well, there are all these future opportunities that may be developing that we could hopefully tap for this project. Were all of these funding sources actually to manifest to the tune of some $200 to $300 million in capital costs, plus some $12 to $13 million in annual operating and maintenance costs, if someone were to invent those funding sources, we would still have to compete to get those funding sources. So that's an extra level of uncertainty. So not only do these things not exist, but we would still have to compete for them. with jurisdictions that have higher population densities and all of the other factors that, that make us not as competitive as even jurisdictions within the state of California. I did hear someone also mention that, well, we've gotten all this money to build, for example, the Solutions for Congested Corridors program money that we got, that was some $90-odd million to do multimodal improvements between Watsonville and Santa Cruz. The reason that we were able to compete with that was because we had a unified corridor plan, and not a lot of jurisdictions had that. So we were in a special category of applicants for that one round of grants. So the next round of grant making, well, everybody will have a corridor plan, and so everybody's going to be competing. We won't be as effective in our competition with larger jurisdictions with higher population densities. That's a fact. So we're assuming that someone's going to make a new grant program that we're going to somehow compete well against, and then we will secure the money. People are also talking about the Biden infrastructure plan, and let's drive a stake through the heart of that right now. The executive branch's budget wish lists still have to make it through Congress, and I'm sure that everyone's aware that we have a very divided Congress. If his infrastructure plan loses 3 votes in the House of Representatives, it won't pass, and it still requires all the senators in the Senate to buy onto it. So it's by no means is this a fait accompli. The Biden Buttigieg transportation gurus are going to find a way to pay for our rail infrastructure. That's magical thinking. I'm sorry, it's magical thinking, and we cannot be running a government agency based on magical thinking. And in fact, well, I don't want to talk about the actual cost of the line. I know that it's expensive, and everything's expensive. We're spending $100 million on Highway 1 and all the multimodal developments that we're going to be putting in there. It's a lot of money. Transportation projects are very, very expensive. My real issue is the opportunity cost of pursuing rail. It means that we're not talking about other things that we could be implementing right now with money that we already have. Well, first of all, we could build a trail right now, because the salvage cost, the salvage returns for our rail infrastructure would be sufficient to build an interim trail. So just by pulling up the rails and selling the steel, we could build it right now. But we're also already working on making our bus transit system more competitive against single occupancy vehicles, which I'm assuming is the whole goal of our adding this new mode of transit, is to get people out of single occupancy vehicles. We have our bus on shoulder auxiliary lane project, which I realize isn't really a penetrating solution to our issues here. We're also going to be building, though, the transit signal prioritization on Soquel Drive between Dominican and State Park, which will give buses a further advantage over single occupancy vehicles. But neither of those are even combined a complete solution. The complete solution would be some kind of dedicated bus lane on Soquel. Now, the importance of building a bus rapid transit project where people actually are is that people need to get to work, they need to get to school, they need to handle all of their business somehow outside of a single occupancy vehicle by using the existing transit network that we have, and maybe investing in it somehow or fostering and promoting more development in our bus transit rather than talking about trains. We could feasibly accomplish our environmental, our equity, and our economic goals in the short term, not 25 years from now. And regarding the free money from the state to do our environmental report, I am very concerned about the inevitability of administrative policymaking. And by that, I mean a plan has a way of becoming a project. Once you start an administrative policymaking process in a certain direction, it develops inertia. And over the course of time, like we see now, we invest millions and millions and millions of dollars in studies to keep pushing this incrementally further. So our passenger rail feasibility study said it was feasible, pushed this a little bit further. The UCIS pushes it a little further. And now this TCAA is saying, well, now you need to spend $17 million to do the environmental to find out what this project is really going to be. No. We shouldn't be spending any more money on rail. We should be devoting all of our efforts to support Metro's efforts to enhance and improve their network to serve their customers, the people who are actually using transit right now who can't get from A to B, sometimes to C. So I will not be supporting the motion, at least as it is today. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Alternate Commissioner. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you. I want to start by thanking everyone in the public for their public comments, both today at today's meeting and through the high volume of emails that have come in over the past 3 or 4 days. A lot of them were form letters, but quite a lot of them were also personal emails with or phone calls or voicemails with stories that people wanted to share about their time in the county, their experiences, and that kind of input is always so welcome and appreciated. I'd like to apologize to those who I wasn't able to respond back to directly, as like I said, it was a very high volume and difficult to get through responding to all the voicemails and emails. But again, I am grateful for that input. I'll try to keep my comments short because most of what I would say has already been said, so I'll just reiterate briefly. I have serious concerns about the financial feasibility as it's laid out in this business plan, as well as the concerns over litigation and the price of litigation, as well as the unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns that we don't have answers for at this time. Additionally, as Commissioner Mulhern just pointed out, there's the opportunity cost and the need to address equity issues now and not necessarily 15 years or more, depending on how long this project may be delayed because of the unknown aspects of when we might be able to receive funding. So again, I'm going to try to keep this as brief as possible, but for the reasons that I've just listed and those that others among us have just noted, I will not be supporting the motion as it stands today. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Peterson. Commissioner Brown.
Thank you. Yeah, I also want to thank the members of the public who have been communicating with us consistently during my 4 years on the RTC and who have shown up today and written to us. You know, I appreciate your level of interest and engagement in these questions. We are fortunate to have a very active and engaged community. So in the interest of time, I'm not going to give a swan song speech here, but just want to focus back our attention onto the idea that this is a business plan. It's telling us something that we, to some extent, already knew about, around costs, that it is not financially feasible at this time to build and operate a rail line. But I don't think that was what anybody was expecting to see in moving forward with a plan like this and mapping out a way forward to better understand you know, what the future might hold. The idea that there are so many unknowns that we should not look any further, to me, just doesn't make sense. And I want to just highlight two members of the public who, and many members of the public said similar things, but one, Ms. Cole's point about us being a society of instant gratification, and the idea that if we just stop talking about the train or studying or looking for ways that we might finance alternative transportation on the scale that might be appropriate, somewhere down the road, that we're, you know, we're displacing funding and energy for all these other projects. You know, these are not fungible funding sources. So, you know, thinking about the future and positioning ourselves for a possible future where, you know, there's a significant influx of funding. Maybe it will happen. Maybe it won't. You know, again, the crystal ball, I don't have one. I don't care to look for one. I think that right now for us to accept this business plan with the information that was available at this time and to continue to position ourselves for the future rather than foreclosing that possibility is something that we ought to really embrace. And so there's plenty more I could say, but I said I wasn't going to do a swan song speech. I'll leave it there. I'm going to be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Brown.